dear listeners. Welcome back to High Vibes and a Mic. I am your host, Veronique. Today, I speak with Dr. Amy Albright. She stands rooted at the intersection of logic-based, science-driven methodology and holistic, transrational, intuitive knowing. She's worked for 2 decades to transform lives and rapidly scale or reinvent businesses. Her training in cognitive psychology and her practice as a doctor of Chinese medicine complement spiritual gifts she's had since childhood. After seeing her brain's astonishing field of coherence and other remarkably rare attributes, Holon neuroscientist Dr. Drew Pearson immediately placed her in the top 0.01% of the most intuitive, empathic, and highly perceptive individuals in the world. So let's have this very interesting conversation with Dr. Amy. Hi, welcome, Dr. Amy. All right, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. So happy to be doing this together.
Yeah, thank you very much. My two last podcasts were really a lot of, you know, spiritual things, but today we're going to talk spiritual, but also a little bit of science, which I like. So you help people rewire their minds, bodies, and energy. So we're going to talk about that. You're going to explain to us what you do exactly. And I was reading your website and it says that it helped merge science and spirituality together to help individual unlock extraordinary transformation. So that's my little intro.
I love it.
So please, Dr. Amy, what's going on? What do you do?
Yeah, it is, you know, some people like to think of science and spirituality as being very different, very separate. Right? Spirituality is a part of life, maybe. It happens when people are in meditation or maybe when they're remembering to think or behave in certain ways. But I would say that spirituality, the great all that is there all of the time. And it is, in fact, all that there is. So if it's all that there is, wouldn't science then fit inside of that? And wouldn't science then be able to explain some? Because we are limited with science, right? Science can explain some of it. But it's growing in its capacity to explain more of what it is that we experience here as humans and in reality, right? But I think that it's an interesting framing for most folks. They don't realize, like, for instance, every state, every emotion, every perception is all run through the filter of your literal brain, right? And so what that means is that these very profound meditative states or spiritual enlightenment experiences are also understood and recognized and down to very intricate detail in the electrical structure of what was happening in that brain at that time. Right. So we then can reverse engineer, like, what does a transient state of enlightenment, like bliss, look like? What does hell look like? Right. What does it look like when someone is stuck on the hamster wheel of life and they're desperately just trying to keep ahead and pay the bills and drive the kids to soccer or whatever the stuff is, right? Like how? Yeah. All of this entire breadth of experience that we have as humans can be understood here, even going so far as our intuition, even going so far as that there's inside of the electrical structure of the brain, we can even see the record of our trauma, you know, specific mother wounds. Yeah. Not everybody knows how to read and interpret the electrical information, the EEG, in that way. But it's basically we take this very highly, highly nerdy, super scientific, like most of what's understood in pop culture or pop science about the brain is completely oversimplified and extremely reductionistic, but we take a very robust and complete picture, as complete as we could possibly have at this time. And we then apply it to how are we experiencing reality? And then because of the neurosciences that we do aren't just to measure and observe, but to actually change and increase function, then we can actually bring somebody to be into that state of more and more spiritual mastery, right? They can sit and practice meditation for 10 or 20 or 30 years, or they can sit with us and get to a deeper state than they would have in that 30-year process, because we know how to downregulate the overthinking mind and upregulate the brain's ability to track the synchrony that it's designed, the concert of coherence that it's designed for. So that's one example. Yeah.
Do you put something on their head? And when you said, you know, rewired their minds, is it like with a machine or something?
Yeah. And it's really rewiring at the brain level. And then the mind follows. It's so interesting. So we have, sometimes it's like a big spider. It looks like something out of the Matrix or something, like a big spider, yeah, black thing that goes over people's heads. And we also have sometimes like a pasted wires that go on. It's sensing, neurofeedback therapy works by sensing these minute electrical signals that are being sent between the different types of cells in our brain, including neurons. And it takes that information about what's happening electrically at high, high levels of specificity. It puts it into a computer. And then the computer says, is this person being chilled out right now? Or are they being a stress case? Like, what's actually happening, right? And so then the computer tells the brain, not the mind, but tells the brain, you're being really relaxed, or, oh, you're going into stress case again. You're using too many. It's like you're all hands and feet on the dance floor and you've got no rhythm. Can we just, like, you know, teach the brain how to function? But it's happening at a very, very fast rate, like 40 milliseconds. So, you know, a fraction of a second. And the mind is perceiving what's going on in those neurofeedback training sessions at closer to a half of a second, like maybe 400 milliseconds. So what this means is that although there are sights or sounds that the person is getting, maybe through headphones or through a screen that's telling their brain directly what's happening, by the time they understand it at the level of the mind, the brain is like already on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It's already 10 items later in processing, right? So inside of this, I want to offer, and I feel like neurofeedback therapy and how our brain and perception really work. I've been studying the brain and perception for over 30 years. And inside of that study, it's basically understanding the mind is going to be one of the last things to understand. The brain is already responding. It's responding to cues in our environment. In the case of neurofeedback, it's responding to the feedback. And in the case of spiritual information, the brain and highest self are already responding before the brain can even figure out what's going on. The brain doesn't even know anything's happened yet. And already this perception is there.
So is the machine sending like good feedback? Because you said, you know, we can see what's going on. If the person is stressed, for instance, what is the machine doing? So the machine can read, okay, this person is stressed. Mm-hmm. So what are you sending to the brain to train the brain? What are you doing?
Basically, it's not that it's something being sent. It's either the reward is happening or the reward is not happening. So when the brain is going towards stress and we're saying, no, no more stress. By the way, there's at least, I don't know, I'm going to guess like 40 different permutations of how that might happen, right? It's not just like one thing is called stress. But if the brain is headed down that pathway where the product is stress, then the person doesn't hear anything and or they don't see anything. It's an absence of sound or an absence of a signal on a screen, on a computer screen. However, if the brain is then saying, what the brain does is says, well, how do I make that sound come out? I know we're supposed to have that sound come out. I want to see that thing on the screen if there's also a visual in this particular training. So the brain, independent of the mind, reroutes the data, reroutes the way it's processing, because it's always doing this, right? When we're trying to find our way and we're like using our map and we're driving around in our car, our brain is also rerouting that data, just like the map is rerouting us sometimes, right? Until we find the right path, till we solve the problem. So the brain in this case is having a whole conversation with the computer wherein it says, okay, I know that I'm not getting that sound right now. And I know that I want that sound. So how do I perform better in this moment so that I can make the sound come out? And then the sound starts coming out and the brain goes, ah, okay, now I get it.
Okay.
But the mind is like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I breathing through my chakras? Is it because I'm, no, it's none of that. The brain is just figuring it out. This neurofeedback therapy works for people in a coma.
It does. Okay.
Yes. So it's like it takes the pressure off. You don't have to be good at it for it to work.
Okay. That's good.
Right. Because the mind wants to think we have to be good at everything. So anyway, so then what happens over time is that as the brain is getting the more of those sounds or sights and sounds to come through in the neurofeedback therapy session, then the body starts to notice how the body is feeling. And then eventually the mind is starting to perceive that like, oh, I feel more relaxed. Oh, I don't know if I've ever felt this version of relaxed before. It feels kind of like liquid buttery relaxed. Oh, I've never felt that feeling before, you know, that kind of a thing. So it's the mind is the last to figure it out, which I think is, again, like a great metaphor for maybe the way we can live our lives, letting those higher processes or letting the brain, letting the intuition, letting higher self drive. Because even when we look at the most nerdy of neurosciences, I'm oversimplifying here, but this is, it's extremely complex, the science behind it, the amount of measurement that this takes, and the specificity with which especially the neuroscientist that's part of the Holon team works with is through the roof, bar none. Like, really, we set the pace globally for doing work with neurofeedback therapy for consciousness and wisdom and intuitive skills. So it is at a very, very high level. And ultimately, we just keep on learning again and again. No matter how smart and no matter how much we know in science, there is a divine intelligence that is running the show. And that is our highest self. That's the all that is. That's God, whatever we want to call it.
And that kind of work, so you help like people with big jobs, I guess, because I read that you help companies achieve like 300% growth in just a few years. So what kind of key energetic, psychological patterns you notice in successful, organizations?
Yeah, we do. We work with peak performers and people who we really feel like are pioneering and visioning and are visionaries out into the future that we all want to have. And so we take those folks in this most elite program where I'm describing this highest level of specificity of neurofeedback, and there's whole other aspects to the program as well. We accept less than 30 people a year. So it's a very small number of people. And part of that is because we refuse to scale because it is sacred. It is sacred work. And we don't want to turn it into a kind of a machine. So anyhow, what we're looking for, or what we see in that, is their ability to be empty, their ability to be as purified, for leaders to be as purified as possible of their egoic drives. Their desire for money, for power, for reputation, all of that. Because that basically blinds them to being able to see what really is needed. What's really
with those kind of people come to you though? Because once you're in power like that, you kind of like it. Will they come to you? Or maybe they think, oh, that's gonna help me grow more, but they don't know, maybe it's gonna be more spiritual than maybe they expected.
Yeah, well, there's a vetting process that I bring them through wherein I make sure that they are very, very aligned with this. And sometimes they come because they're in pain. Wow, I've accomplished all of this and I still feel empty. People like to romanticize what it is that, wealthy people or extremely powerful people have. Often it's just a magnification of the same problems that happen at any socioeconomic status, right? So if you take everything and turn the volume up, if that's what they're walking through, we actually can have greater compassion for all walks of life, all presentations. But these folks come to us sometimes in a great deal of pain because they realize that they have built an empire and they don't have a family. They realize that they don't know themselves. So, I mean, this is sometimes the trade-off that happens. It's not always, but it can be the trade-off. And then there are the ones that I would say that are in a totally different class of characters that are like in this league of people who say, look, I built all of this out of the depth of humility. I built all of this that I've done in my career of service. And I know that I'm hitting my upper thresholds for service. And so how do I get to be able to serve more people? No matter what, we're working with people who want to serve people. Sometimes their primary motivation is to try to escape the pain that's inside of them via serving people. Sometimes it's more aligned, serving people for serving people's sake, being a part of something bigger. We work with people who have a very clear sense of mission in this world. But again, it's a very small number of people that we bring through. So that's part of why I want to be out on podcasts. We're creating more and more offerings that are more accessible because everything inside of my heart is that. It's just that at the same token, sometimes you have to take things first inside of a laboratory and really discover them before you know how to implement them at large. My colleague and I have been in this laboratory for the most of the last 13 or 14 years. He's been in neurosciences for 27. And I've been practicing as a doctor of Chinese medicine for 23, but I started doing executive coaching and scaling and advising companies well over a decade ago as well, maybe more like 15 years ago. So there's this whole combination of things that is happening where we bring together the mystical and my capacities as a very clear intuit, and I have the ability to walk between worlds essentially and see into people's souls and make diagnostics in my own way and also make corrections for folks that they're asking for, even independent of the neurosciences. So my skills put together kind of representing that end of mystical, although I'm quite nerdy and scientific myself. And then my colleague actually being quite a mystic, but also mostly being anchored into the neurosciences. We together have found a way to translate and hopefully to bring more hope and structure and promise, because the compartmentalized world, the world of duality, is really failing right now. We're learning that we can't fight. We can't win by fighting.
So you're very highly intuitive. You're an empath, right? Are you a psychic or so? Because you said that you walk between worlds. Can you
explain that? Yeah, yeah. The word psychic
explain to me that?
Is more of a, I predict the future. And for me, I don't orient into predicting it. I orient into changing the future.
Because you said you can read people's souls. So what do you mean by that?
People have all kinds of presentations and they have all sorts of personality traits and they think that those are them. I am a woman. I am a mother. I am a this. I do that for a living. You know, I've always been this way. Oh, I hate this. I like this food. I don't, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I understand that constellation and I respect that. But I also see through, I can feel into who they really are. And so my work, as soon as I began my practice 23 years ago, is sit down with a complete stranger and in the course of just maybe 2 to 5 minutes, be able to understand the depths of who they are, maybe at a level that they don't fully understand. But then the magic is not that. It's not like, oh, look at me. The magic comes when I relay my best capacity, in my best capacity, the translation of what I'm seeing, and I watch them melt away. I watch all of the illusion. I watch the pain. I watch, and there's an immediate warmth and energy and healing that comes over them from a deep, deep level recognition, which comes in turn with love and appreciation and respect. And that light that is shown then into them is so healing. It's transformative in that very moment. And so that's essentially what the foundation of what I've been known for since the start. There's a lot of other things that have developed during that time.
And so for someone who's leading a business, what would be the first step they can take then to align, to realign and move forward then? Just come to see you and you're going to vet them.
Start a station. We have to see because we want to see if we can get the results for folks. We want to see who they are and if we feel like they're a good match for the type of skills and offerings that we have. Yeah. And so they can work with me one-on-one in a coaching and or advisory role. I have a mystery school, which is a modern mystery school. Essentially, it's the teaching of everything that I've learned from my 23 years of on-the-job experience as a clairvoyant and understanding how the human energy field intersects with the all that is and how to create inside of the field of creation, which is much more powerful than manifestation. So that's the modern mystery school. Yeah. Or it can also be through our intensive program. And then we're always, you know, we're finding new ways and developing new offerings as well for folks to be able to experience this work directly with us. Yeah.
So there's something more powerful than the secret?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, manifestation as it's been taught and as it is, and I'm going to speak in generalities, is I, me, mine. I would like a parking space. I would like a fancy boat. I would like, right? And so there's a certain amount of energy that can move through the eye. But basically, we're taking the vast awareness of the all that is and our interconnectedness to the all that is and trying to refract it down into a thing that exists in isolation from everything. So it's like taking the all that is and saying, if my brain can be smarter than God or everything that's out there, it's like, it's not really how it works. It's an illusion, right? This is one aspect of God, but I am not as smart or as majestic as the all that is. So if we look at manifestation, it's saying, I want this for me. So it's taking this infinite capacity of the all that is, and it's trying to then move it through a very small vessel called me or mine. And versus then, if we work inside of the creational field, it's not a thought construct. We actually have to embody the feeling of oneness and interconnectedness, which is baked into the work that we do and is available to everyone, even if they never, you know, call up whole on in any way, right? But so if we're connected to the all that is, we don't know anymore if we are the creator or the created. We don't know. We see and sense and experience what it is that's wanting to come into form, and we play our role in it, which might in some ways be that silent moment of desire, but it's interconnected. It's not done for the sake of the little self. It's done for sake of everyone. Although within everyone, the little self can also benefit and should benefit.
That would be for the mystical school part. That's nothing to do with the science part, right?
Well, there is a program behind it. Yeah, it's working with not that I'm a physicist, but it's working more in that zero point physicist understanding of the quantum mechanics of how everything is interconnected. So it's just taking the frame basically of what we used to believe about manifestation and making it broader. And there is an anchoring into kind of, let's say, the structure of how physicists are starting to discover that the universe is wired.
And you mentioned that you work with Chinese medicine. How does that background with Chinese medicine inform the way you coach leaders and business?
Yeah, I mean, my start was in Chinese medicine. My first real calling was a very clear voice that said to go to Chinese medicine school. And so I went, and I mean, once you feel a really clear calling finally on something, you better not try to, you know, say no, right? So I went. And then in the first month of after I graduated, when I passed the boards and did all those steps, I started to practice, and I realized that basically I was being given a huge amount of information, and I was being asked to solve problems that didn't have known solutions inside of any body of medicine on earth. Like people coming to me with diseases that could easily kill them. They were told that they had life-ending diseases, or they were given disease name labels that said they would have it for forever. And it's just very, even just the thought of that, it can be so debilitating for someone. And so essentially, to come back to your question, how does the Chinese medicine filter in? It became clear to me two things. One is that I am not as much a practitioner as I am a vessel for miracles to come through, for the divine, for the wisdom of what's going on at that soul level. But that also I have the responsibility to get out of the way of that, basically, right? Like I have, and there's an interconnected web of elements. In Chinese medicine, everything works according to the Chinese cosmology of the five elements, or the yin and the yang. And so the same way that we can solve problems at the level of like, oh, what's going on with this digestive system and how does that relate to how they're sleeping, you know, like understanding that intricate matrix of reality, I can also then take that same systems understanding and apply it to solving business problems or solving community-based problems, if I understand. So it's not necessarily the direct application of the elements themselves, but a deep understanding of systems and interconnectedness that I feel like that Chinese medicine has helped to inform every area, including the way that we look at the brain, you know, because we're not just like, oh, let's be scientists doing things inside of people's brains. Like, who is this person on a soul level? Where are they headed? What are the depths of what they're experiencing inside of their bodies and minds and in their emotional, spiritual space? And also, how do we take into account on a very practical level the gut health so that we can take care of the gut brain? How do we take care of the endocrine system so that we balance the hormones as much as we look at the brain? We can't dissect people and end up with a whole answer.
Yeah, that makes me think a little bit of acupuncture.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Until you know you, I don't know, maybe your arm is hurting and they're going to put the needle on your foot.
That's right. That's right. Because sometimes the place where we feel the pain isn't the origin.
Yeah.
Right. And we can become very fixated on the problem or the symptom and miss the root.
Yeah, exactly. Your program that I read, so you help with elevate intelligence and cognition, deepen meditation, coherence and wisdom, boost resilience, open intuition, and unlock supernatural gifts. So how long would it take for somebody who come to see you to get all of that? I mean, to get better at all of this.
It's a lot of ambition, right? It seems impossible, but that's a part of it. So inside of the framing,
improvement.
Making the what seems impossible quite possible, right? This is what we are experts of, I would say, of beyond about talking about science or intuition or the mystical. So we can get a 40% change in someone's brain in 5 days.
In 5 days?
If they come on site and they go through our program, which is this deep walk through them, you know, their own knowing of themselves on a soul level, and also the neuroscience, the very much, you know, nerdy neuroscience is very much applied very specifically for their brain. It's not a cut and dry cookie cutter at all. Just like you and I sit, we have different, we sound different, we look different. We're so much the same, and none of that really matters on some level. But when we look at a brain, we see so much specificity and we meet that. So because of the specificity and because of the skill and the style of medicines that we bring together, we get extraordinary results. And so we move people through a process that on average gets a 40% change in their brain in 5 days in the things that they want to see different. I would say that everybody that comes through our program has an experience of those things that you read, resilience, cognition, all of those things improve. But what is it that we focus on is up to the person, right? Like that's really what's their heart's desire and what would help them to most actualize themselves so that they can really accomplish their mission of why they're here. So we'll hone it to that. Yeah. And then what's amazing is that because the way the brain works, that 40% change is only with the immediate existing neural architecture, the existing brain architecture. So there's not a chance for new cells or new connections to grow yet. But then over the next 3 to 6 months, those grow in. And as that's happening, the feeling is like, oh, wow, the things that I learned are now actually really easy to implement. Or, oh, there's even more. Oh, but wait, there's more. Like a month in or more, they're discovering and uncovering. Often around the 3 or 4 month mark, they've hit this like unbelievable place. So unlike a lot of retreats where you go, you're relaxed, you know, you get some massage, whatever, and then you go back and 4 days later, you're back kind of to the place you were, yeah. Right? That neurotic or pained place doesn't exist anymore, right? It's not an, it doesn't, unless you really choose hard to live a certain way and like almost consciously at that point, bring it back, you kind of can't bring it back. And then it continues to shift over time. Because the body, the brain has realized that it has another option. And the body and the brain do not want to suffer. It's just that sometimes we don't know we have that option to do something different.
Yeah, that's true. So do they have like regular homework they have to do when they go back home, like certain things? Because the brain has been rewired, so now they have to change, I guess, the way they were thinking or living.
Yeah.
So every day they have something new to do.
Yeah, there's some program, you know, there's definitely the preparation is helpful. And then yes, on the other side of the program, there is an integration process. And it's really an important part of things because if people aren't sleeping, they're not feeding themselves proper nutrition, you know, if they're eating basically junk food and toxin, it can make an impact on how well the brain continues to function in that new learning, that learned place. We also just have them implement some self-care. All of that is the most important for the first 4 to 6 weeks, you know, like no alcohol for 4 weeks. Some people can't commit to that. Some people wish they could commit to it, but then they suddenly know how to commit to it because what they realize when they get here is those that are craving alcohol and can't set it down, it's often because of their alpha waves are too low. So a certain kind of brain wave in their brain is so low, often from trauma, whether it's big trauma or low-grade trauma from stress. But if that alpha wave is too suppressed, they'll want to reach towards alcohol. So when we say, can you abstain from alcohol? Some people feel like it might be hard. And then when they're on the other side of our program, they're like, oh, this is actually really easy. Like who even
I did it for 9 months. After a while, you don't even think about it.
That's right. And especially if your alpha then is naturally healthy or it's brought back to health, right? So as a piece of that, I do want to mention that my colleague, again, I understand that our programs are expensive. They are for very few people. It's just kind of the nature of it. My colleague and I are looking to replicate our knowledge and leave a legacy to apprentices that want to study the specifics underneath us. But until we've done that, how do we help more people, right? In a way that's safe, in a way that's scalable. And so he invented a headset that's Sensei. And that actually works with alpha waves. So it's an over-the-counter, you can order it online. The price point, I think, is at around $1,400. And up to a whole family can utilize that same headset for the price of the app, which is only $250 a year. So if going to a neurotherapist and let's say the first appointment might be $800 or $1,000 because they have to do the EEG mapping. And it's very, if they really know what they're doing, this is a very complex, highly scientific, takes so much skill to learn how to do. And then you do each neurotherapy appointment is like $150-ish. And a lot of people don't have access to a good neurotherapist in their area. There aren't a lot of them, honestly. So this really makes this an affordable thing for a family or friends to share. Even up to five people can split the cost of $1,400 and then figure out how to share the headset for $20 a month. It kind of works out to be. It's ridiculously inexpensive. So it cannot do nearly the number of things that I'm describing for our program. But what it does do is very safe. It's very effective. And for instance, and the reason I'm thinking of this right now, because I don't always talk about this, the Sensei headset product that I'm talking about, but that in the scope of someone that's struggling with alcohol or has a feeling that they're still kind of suffering long-term in a low-grade way, even from things that have happened in their past, traumatic moments or whatever, this can be a really powerful tool. It also has things for focus for people who have a hard time with focus. It has things for sleep. You can train your HRV so you can understand your heart rate variability and also change your heart rate variability, which has been linked to promoting longevity, reducing stress, and increasing harmony and coherence amongst humans. It also has a light thing that it can shine lights inside of someone's brain and help it to stay vital and protect against aging. So there's so many things in that one headset, and I want to make sure that people know about it, because again, my heart is to be able to serve everyone. And thus far, I've only been able to figure out how to be one me, and I'm working on it.
What can we get the headset? Where can you buy it?
The headset is, it's online, and it's sens.ai. So like sensei, like the Japanese teacher name.
Okay.
But it's sens.ai. So that's available. And another resource that is really incredible for people, if they go to our website, which is holonexperience.com, holonexperience.com, there's a free download. And that download is... we can call it kind of like a meditation, but it's really a breath practice. And it's a breath that we can do, you know, for a few minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever we have time for, maybe with our eyes closed. But the beauty of it is that we can do it with our eyes open. And it actually changes how people feel in a really massive way. And when people build it over time, it's incredible what can happen. So I would say that in short, it exercises the energy anatomy. It puts us in touch with our energy anatomy and helps us to exercise it and to connect it so that we actually have the feeling in our body of the interconnectedness. So many of us have that idea in our mind, right? Like, oh, we are all one. It's like, that can be a really frustrating thing to think when it's not, you know, like, well, then how come I'm not feeling very connected to this person that I'm so angry with, right? Or how come I'm not feeling so... Anyway, so bringing that into the embodied experience with that breath practice that's available on our website is another tool that I just want to be able to offer. And it has been absolutely life-changing for people, and it's free for everyone.
It's funny because I never really thought about breath work before. Mm-hmm. And now lately, that's all I hear about. Mm. Breath work. I do a little bit of yoga, so we do some breath work there. But yeah, recently I've been hearing a lot of it, and I'm doing a new training for a new career that I want to do. And there's a lot of that also in there, breath work. So, I guess it's very important.
It's an ancient way to change state. You know, for people that don't want to or don't have access to psychedelics, they can create a psychedelic type experience with just working with their breath. I have had myself and have witnessed and heard about so many massive transformations. And some of the breath work is very like hard, heavy breathing. Some of it is more like the pranayama from yoga, which is more like gentle and sustained. This particular breathwork practice that I'm referring to is so gentle that you can do it in the middle of a conversation while you're driving. You don't have to, it doesn't require a lot of thought. And so that's why it can become seamlessly a part of someone's life. And then in that same seamless fashion, bring a seamless understanding into the body of the interconnectedness. Because we've been taught that we hold the idea that we're interconnected, but then how we're taught is it's every person for themselves and in the dog eat dog world. And it's like all of this contradiction, right? We often, as a part of the human experience, feel very alone. And so, but alone is an illusion, right? The whole universe is with us, right? There's the interconnectedness is the truth, but to shift into that can be very difficult. And I know that we all have had our experiences of being in that state. So this is an offering, hopefully, to change that. And like you said, breathwork is, it's popping up everywhere right now. It's amazing. It's amazing. Everything is happening right now, I feel like.
I know. People are waking up.
Yes.
You mentioned psychedelic earlier. Do you work with this? Because I think I read that also on your website that you used to work with it before, or you doing something with this now?
I don't do it professionally. I work with medicines inside of my own journey. And I also have taught about psychedelics for, I have taught coaches who basically coach people who are going through psychedelic experiences. So not necessarily the facilitator that's serving the medicine. I'm not serving the medicine, but I do have the ability because of my background and my perception and my awareness on how to guide people through finding these parts of themselves. Because with psychedelics, we often find the truth, the soul self, right? So I've helped coaches to learn how to guide people through that process. And I love to educate on psychedelics for leadership and consciousness awareness. It's not for recreation, but for really intentional, beautiful use. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen, I think it was on TV, something about that. That looks scary. The people doing... What's the name of this experience again? I think they go to Peru or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot going down on going on in Peru.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca and specifically.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one. And when they come out of this, they're like new person, completely changed.
Right. Yeah. So it's a good parallel because what we're doing is, again, it's not psychedelics, but we can essentially bring someone's brain into a psychedelic-like experience.
Okay.
In some ways, even the breath practice, breathing breathworks can do that. Like I was saying, different forms of breathwork. But certainly when we get the brain, basically it's like learning, teaching the brain how to release all of those neurochemicals on its own.
Right? That's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All the benefit without the drug.
Exactly. Because with the medication, with a medicine that you take in, like ayahuasca or those other kind of medicines, once you take it in, you're on the ride. There's no getting off the ride.
It's scary.
Yeah. And so with us, it's like, you know, we help somebody's neurology to be in a certain state. And then we can, you know, it's like as soon as we take them off that training, then it's available. They can be choosing it or not choosing it. And ultimately, if they're like, wait, I don't think this one is for me, then they can, you know, push off their eye mask and take off the headphones and they're done. Right. And so, so it's a very methodical and grounded experience of some of those altered states of reality or expanded awarenesses of self. Yeah.
Not secure, not safe.
Yes.
Not safe. Anyone famous that we know that took your classes or your program?
So I said in a funny...
That you won't say,
exactly,
of course, but
I can't.
Anybody that we know?
I'm not allowed to do a lot of name dropping because I am a doctor and we have to hold confidentiality. But one person that a lot of people might know of is a very famous biohacker and influencer, and his name is Luke Story. So he's got a podcast with 14 million downloads, for instance. And actually, interestingly, it's going to be dropping next week. I don't know when this one will air, but if anybody wants to hear about that one, they can go listen to him too. Listen to our show with him. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of other famous people, but I can't really talk about all of them. Only the ones that are then going to go talk on their, you know, on their platform, right? I feel like that for a lot of the folks, at least thus far, I do feel the tide changing, but I think a lot of people like to keep us in that secret weapon compartment. Like they only tell their very best friends, but they don't want everybody knowing because then...
They don't want us to know their superpower. That's why, you know, you want to keep it for yourself.
Yeah. And or they don't know how to even explain it. And that is a very fair thing, honestly. You know, I'm doing my best. It takes great courage and great vulnerability to stand up and talk about some of these things, right? And also to experience, you know, like let's say when we design a website, we have the role of having people understand how grounded we are. I'm not working with like, you know, I call them like the spiritual bliss bunnies that don't know how to hold down jobs. And they're just like, oh, I'm just going to follow whatever. And, you know, I'm very prone to being like with the next cult or something. So it's not that, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually so powerfully, deeply spiritual and grounded version of, let's say, let's call it the woo, the deepest of spirituality in a very practical way. So that's very difficult to name and land. And then you also have this neurosciences, which, you know, I'm making it as simple as I can, but in its actuality is very complex. And then you put those things together and people have no frame even for themselves in so many ways of how that goes. They have a feeling of understanding, but it's sometimes, and sometimes we do get people repeating our program because they want more and more of the, especially around the intuition. First time they come through, it's often, let's just clear out the monkey mind. Let's clear out all of the, you know, all the garbage. And then the second time, if they do come back, it's often, now I really want to deepen my intuition. And it's often at that place that folks then begin to be able to express it verbally. Because it's like so, it's so much, it's so different than what their friend would even know how to understand, that it's quite a task to try to explain it. So.
Well, do you see something good for the future as more and more leaders are coming, you know, to holistic growth, and they embrace, you know, the consciousness or the mystic? Is this something better is going to happen for the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I'm an optimist, but not necessarily from the rose-colored glasses point of view. That makes sense. So it's kind of like I'm watching all of it. I'm seeing all of it. So much of it, I actually had premonitions of where we would be today back 30 years ago, honestly. So there's been moments of my life where it's felt crushing to have all of this information and to not be able to unsee it. But at the same time, it's kept me very focused on my path. Very, very focused, very dedicated, even though it's required so much of me as an individual. Just keep showing up on behalf of everyone, on behalf of everything. So inside of that, yeah, I do. I have great hope, because I feel like that it's through crises sometimes that amazing things are born, right? Right now we have a death of a lot of things. There's a lot of deaths of, I would say, let's call it illusions, and the desire to be inside of the duality, inside of the fight, is starting to get old for some folks. And we saw this too, like with COVID, terrible, terrible. I have my whole thing about the illness itself and the socio-political agenda aspect, but I feel like that on the most fundamental level, so many people felt absolutely broken by the disconnection. I think that's our biggest thing that we're suffering from, and it became really intense. But so many other people during that same time period woke up, because the disconnection became so painful, they couldn't stay asleep to it anymore. So then they finally got down and or getting down to the root of it for themselves, right? How do I feel connected? How do I feel a part of the totality? How do I feel that my existence has meaning? How do I make more meaning inside of my existence? Like, these are things that a lot of people were not thinking about pre-COVID. I've been thinking about it for however long, which has been my own whole experience, but you know, everybody's coming along kind of at their right timing. So when I look around right now, yeah, we're having massive upheaval inside of every kind of system, instead of economics, politics, human rights, every kind of thing that we could be having. And so it's my hope and my prayer and my vision, and what it is that I'm holding steady for, is that we find our way through together, and that we can overcome the existential pain, right? This pain that seems too much, this pain that seems like, I can't even deal with my stuff. How could I possibly help anyone else right now? Or what can I do about the rest of it? But the truth of it is that by coming through our own pain, whether it's the pain for self or the pain of like all of what humanity and all of the planet is going through, that we free up. That's how we create the resilience, is by unencumbering ourselves from the pain. So again, instead of reaching for the alcohol, reaching for the TV screen, reaching for the Instagram, reaching for the whatever those loops are, right? It's like, go straight into, and using that breath practice that I was describing is so helpful. Go into that pain and allow it to transmute. Because we can spend our whole lifetime running from something that can be released in 5 seconds, right? It takes skill. It takes courage. It takes the right tools. So that's really so much of what we are wanting to empower people to do, and to be able to translate that out to everyone so that we can find our own internal liberation and real freedom. And then it's from that place, you know, we may not have total freedom, but from the place of even somewhat more freedom, we have more of the puzzle pieces to then solve that which we're facing as a collective. And it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's all worth it.
It's so much easier now to, you know, to get help. Before, you know, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have TV or whatever. And now, you know, it's everywhere.
That's right.
And with the podcast also now, it's so easy just to come together and talk about it, and people have access to it. So yeah. For free. I mean, it's right? So much easier now to get the knowledge, right?
It's true. That's such a beautiful addition in the conversation. Yeah, it's so important to recognize how much power we have with free information and education. Again, when I started on this 30 years ago, I was some like, what is even going on? There was not hardly any books. The internet didn't exist yet. I mean, we didn't even have cell phones. It was a different world, right? And so many of us have started that path. It's not just me. So many of us have been on the journey for a long time. And some of us are new to it, and it can still feel overwhelming, but just recognizing how many tools do we really have? And how much can we bring ourselves into this and share the experience with others? So I'm really happy to be able to share this experience with you in real time and then with all of your beautiful listeners so that they can listen to this and benefit, right? There's so much.
Did you write a book about this or not? Because I don't think I saw any book from you.
No. Can you feel one coming? I'm feeling one coming.
I think so. I think you should. I mean, it's a lot of work. I don't know if you have the time. It's a lot of work, but I think you should write a book. Yeah, definitely. That would help more people. People are still reading or listening, you know, Audible.
Totally.
I listen to a lot of books.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I feel one coming, yeah.
Encouragement.
And then you're going to have to come back here and we can talk about the book.
That would be fun. I would love that. Yeah, I would love that. Thank you.
Do you want to add anything maybe I didn't ask that you want to tell, you know, the listeners? I mean, we could talk for hours about this.
We could, I know. And I feel like that it's kind of along that lines of not only that it's worth it, but that people can do it. I think that if I could just continue to distill out from my heart what it is that I'm wanting people to most know is that each of us are a walking, living, breathing miracle. We're not walking around inside of these meat suits. That's such a terrible thing that got started in the way of thinking. I really want for people to understand that we are. Our bodies and our beings that we can see are a holographic representation of the godlike being that we are, and that we have access to everything. So yes, the podcast, like you said, so much like tangible things, but also, you know, we have access to the invisible realm. We have access to our ancestors, if that's part of the paradigm for someone. We have access to guidance, spiritual guidance from ourselves, from our highest self, from, you know, the angelic realm, like anywhere that people want to, that feels resonant for them and to stay inside of the fully empowered knowledge that we are creating our own reality and that we have everything that we need inside of us and around us to be able to do that and to not give up. You know, the messages and the lessons will just keep repeating. So to gather that strength and to rally, and again, to do it as much together as possible.
Together, that's the word, right? Well, I really love that conversation where ancient wisdom meet modern science. That was really, what's to say from your website again, that I took. I really love that conversation. Very, you know, insightful and a lot of knowledge to get. People need to be more knowledgeable about everything, science, spirituality. It's so important. Breath work. Uh-huh. Now I'm adding that more now in my ritual also of meditation. It doesn't take long sometimes, just 2 minutes of breath work. It's not that much. If you don't have 2 minutes in your life, you need something, you need to change something because
exactly.
That's not good. Well, Dr. Amy, thank you very much for coming. And I hope we see you again maybe next time. We know we can talk about your book and what you...
Thank you for your encouragement. People. It's coming.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye.